Well, are you glad to be in church this morning?
Yeah. Ooh, that's good.
That's good. We got the kids in here today. We have a great Kids Town and Crosswalk ministry here at Living Hope Church. And Jeannie's and my very handsome public safety chief son, Chet, and his beautiful wife, Amy, are in charge of it right over here. And we thank Chet for his service, not only to our community, but also to the kids in this church. They have a great time back there, and if you have kids, we have been here today to hear a little bit about the history, but you send them back there on Sunday. We dismiss usually right after the singing, and they'll be blessed. We have Awana on Wednesday night, Pastor Mike here on Sunday morning, and the life groups, and they're all going through the same basic scriptures each Sunday so that when they're home, the kids, parents can talk about what was going on. So I promised Pastor Mike that I would do a scripture. That I would read a scripture from the scriptures for today. So I picked one out of the scripture that's there for today. And I'm so glad this one was in there because I love it. It's John 11:25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes will live." Anybody going to correct me? "Anyone who believes in me." Not anyone who just believes anything they want to. "Anyone who believes in me," Jesus said, "will live even after dying. Anyone who lives in me and believes in me will never ever die." Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this, Living Hope Church? Do you believe this, Christian friend? Listen, no matter what any world religion teacher says, just being sincere isn't enough. Just believing whatever you want to believe isn't enough. We must believe in Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman, no person comes to God, to the Father, except through Jesus Christ." We must believe that. That is the basic truth that we build our faith on and that we need to spread to the world. I didn't think I was going to preach that scripture, but it came across all right there. When the Word says something, it's true. When the Bible says something is sin, your opinion doesn't matter, and neither does mine. When the Bible says it, it's true. I titled the message today, "Crossfire, Foundations of Living Hope Church." Everyone say crossfire. Why crossfire? Because the preaching of the cross and the awesome power of the Holy Spirit are the foundations, listen to me, are the foundations of evangelism and revival that have been at the forefront of our mission here at this church. Put up that first picture of Jim and Maxine, would you? Do you remember that, some of you? By the way, how many were at the very first Sunday morning service at the Elks Club in May of 1977. Anybody here? There is a couple hands. Yeah, in the back, over here, over here. There's a few of us. Yeah, over here, Maxine. In 1965, Jim and Maxine Erickson moved their family from Minnesota to Green Bay, Wisconsin. Jim was a production manager of the Press Gazette, and they began to attend First Assembly of God Church over there on Chano and Fisk, which was my home church. And I was sitting in the back like a lot of the older teenagers did. The rite of passage. When you got to be 18, you didn't have to sit with your folks anymore. You got to sit in the back. As long as I was there and didn't cause any trouble. And this family walked in. Five kids. And Jim and Maxine, and walked to the front of the church. Can you imagine that? And sat in the front. I thought, what in the world? This family, what are they doing? Marching up to the front. That's amazing. Front rows were always open. And I looked there, and they had four boys, and Jim and Maxine, and this pretty good-looking teenage girl. So I just happened to notice there at the time. This area was in what I would call the spiritual doldrums before Jim and Maxine came here. There were some things going on in the evangelical churches, but not much. And Jim and Maxine helped to usher in a spirit of renewal, spiritual renewal, spiritual revival. It was called the Charismatic Movement at the time. And the influence that they had, still continues to this day in many churches around this area, even if they don't realize or understand that. Living Hope Church was formerly Interfaith Fellowship. Do you remember that? It wasn't all that long ago. Started as a Thursday night Bible study for about 10 years, and before it became a full-time church in May of 1977. I want to take a look at some of the places that Interfaith met. Let's look at the first one. That's Jim and Maxine's home, Jeannie's home, when they moved here over in Karen Lane in Alloway. And that's where Patty Hancock, who was a piano player, came to give Jeannie lessons and felt something, saw something, asked questions. And it wasn't long before Jim and Maxine were going to look at the next picture to John and Patty's house over on Simonette. And they came because Patty and John, their husband, had some questions about what they believed. It seemed so different than everybody else. And they shared their testimony, and John and Patty and a couple of Catholic priests and sisters all knelt down, asked Jesus into their heart that night. And that was the essence, the start of. So they had a Bible study there every Thursday, and then people came and it got too many people. So they moved to this place. Now it's a home, but then it was like an annex building to Faith Lutheran, which is right across on Webster Street. That was a little church, little annex church there, and met there for a long time, and it was fun, and we did some worship and some praise, and I remember taking Jim Miller down in the basement one Thursday. Remember that, Jim? We prayed together and asked Christ to really become real, and I'll never forget that night, and Jim is here today, too. It was a beautiful time. A lot of people got saved there in that place. Well, then, again, it got to be too small. I'm not exactly sure of these orders, but let's look at the next place we did some Thursday nights. Still there, the Riverside Ballroom. We did some dancing there in the spirit at the Riverside Ballroom, and Maxine had some ladies' Bible studies and ladies' luncheons, and it was a great place for a while. We moved to the next place. Oh, yes, First Assembly of God, my home church on Shawano Avenue. That's right, Shawano and Fisk. And that's where Thursday nights met for a while, and it worked out very well there. And a lot of great things happened. There were, at times, some Thursdays, there were 300 to 400 people from all denominations, and it was a beautiful time of worship and praise. And then Interfaith in May of 1977 became a full-time church, and then Thursdays moved as well. How many of you remember Dennis Sports Shop? That was kind of right where Dennis Sports Shop was. They tore that down, and now a big CVS pharmacy is there. And but that's that's a spiritual pharmacy where we used to live, or we used to live on Thursday nights, where people got helped and healed. And then we moved over to Van Buren, just around the corner. This white place, that was, it's a wedding chapel now, but it was Central Assembly of God Church, if you remember that, on Van Buren Street. And there was an annex building right here. Now they got these beautiful apartments right next to it. But right about there was where that annex building was. And when I became a youth pastor in 1981, we started having our youth services there because that's where we were meeting on Thursday night. To the next picture. Yes, that is the Family Services building. It used to be the Elks Club, if you remember. And that's where the first Sunday morning service was held in first Sunday of May, 1977. By the way, before it was the Elks Club, way back in the day when I was a youngster, 10, 11 years old, that was the site of the original Pentecostal Charismatic Church right on that corner called the Gospel Tabernacle, which was in essence what First Assembly and Central Assembly of God are now. So it was a good place to be. And I think the leaders of the church at that time even thought about buying it. Thank the Lord that didn't work out. because there's no parking over there. And by the way, the Elk Club didn't want us there anyway. I don't know what the deal was, but they didn't like interfaith fellowship being there. I think because of some of the things that were. Anyway, I won't get into that. And then we finally moved to West High School, my alma mater. On the west side of it. No, I won't sing that alma mater song. West High School. And I used to ask the kids in my youth group. I said, when your friends ask you where to go to church, what do you say? They say, we go to the generic church. So it was a church in high school. We were there for like 6 years, I think, Neil, weren't we? Approximately something like that. And then God so beautifully directed us to this place, and we bought that in 1984, and we've been here ever since, did some changes, some additions, but God has been so gracious over the years, and his hand has been upon each one of those moves, in each one of those places. God has done some amazing, supernatural, miraculous things, and now we're here in this place. So, that's it. Yeah, it's worth it. It's not often that God puts a person in your life who can bless you, motivate you, challenge you, correct you, direct you, and overall be a person that you can truly call a mentor. Jim Erickson was such a person to me, and maybe he was to many of you as well. And I'm not here to preach Jim Erickson this morning, but I want to show you how one person used of God. Maybe you, me, can have an amazing impact on other people. The first words I ever heard Jim Erickson say, and that one of those first Sundays that he came when there was a time for testimonies, he stood up and he said, remember? That's the first words I ever heard him say. And when he was taking his last breaths when we were out there some of those nights, the last words I ever heard him say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Even had it on his license plate. PTL, Jim Erickson, Jim. Crossfire, the preaching of the word. Jim was a preacher and a teacher of the word. He said his first very favorite scripture was Romans 1:16, which says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for who? Everyone who believes. For the Jew first, never forget that, and also for the Gentiles, for the Greeks, that's you and I. Thank the Lord." He also loved 2 Timothy 3:16. Some scripture, most scripture, what is it? All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I think the biggest attack on Christianity today is an attack on the authority of God's word, on the truth of God's word. When the Bible says something about something, I've said this before, my opinion doesn't matter, neither does yours. Christians, we live by faith, don't we? Amen. The Bible says that. We live by faith. Where does that faith come from? The faith comes from, it says in Romans, faith comes from hearing the word of God. So it's so important to be into God's word, to build your faith, to build my faith, to build our faith. That's why we have the direction that we have in this church through D6 ministry. The word, the word, the word. When I became a pastor, my father-in-law, Jim Erickson, I ended up marrying his daughter, by the way, in case you didn't know that. So it's been 51 years, and it's been beautiful. So, and the best is yet to come. I still believe that, by the way. Jim put his arm on my shoulder and said, "Jerry, let me give you a word of advice. More of God's word and less of you is always a good thing." And he was true. So when Pastor Mike was going to become a pastor, you know what I did, right? Put my hand on his shoulder and said, "Pastor Mike, let me give you a word of advice. More of God's word and less of you will always be a good thing." Everything we believe, everything we base our lives on as Christ followers must be founded on the Word of God. It will never change to accomplish some person's belief system. Jesus said in Matthew, heaven and earth may pass away, but his word never, never, never will pass away. Be careful who you listen to in these days. Amen. Be very careful who you listen to. New revelations, new truths, new interpretations. Be careful. Look, it says in Revelation 22, if anyone adds anything to what is written here, God will add to that person the plagues described in this book. And if anyone removes any of the words of this from this book of prophecy, God will remove that person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city that are described in this book. I don't know about you, I take that pretty seriously, don't you? We don't add to God's word, we don't take away from it, we take it for what it is. And the work of the Holy Spirit makes it come alive to us and reveals things, how we can apply it to our lives on an everyday basis. Jim also emphasized strongly, and this church was firmly established on the word, yes, but also on the power of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit as preached and taught throughout the New Testament. The early church in Acts, listen, before Jesus ascended to the Father, he had followers, but they weren't very effective. They were constantly messing up, constantly goofing up. If they were going to be the witnesses for Christ that they needed to be, they needed the power of the Holy Spirit. So do we. Acts 1, verse 6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? In other words, are you going to come and do it like right now? He replied, Jesus, did the Father alone. The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. Or any other so-called prophecy expert who thinks they know when Christ is coming back. Father alone. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, the Living Hope Church, Green Bay, Wisconsin, Brown County, United States of America, and around the world for the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Pastor Jim Maxine taught, we teach the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. You can read through the book of Acts. You can read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and you'll get the picture of what this is. The baptism of the Holy Spirit revolutionized Pastor Jim's life. It revolutionized Maxine's life. It revolutionized my life, and it can revolutionize your life. If you need a revelation or a revolution of power in your life, then be filled with the Spirit. If you've gone dry spiritually, ask God to fill you up again with the Holy Spirit. And I'll pray for you if you want me to. Listen, the world is not getting better. Is it? Or is it just me? Since I was born, till now, we've had 13 presidents. An equal mix of Democrats and Republicans. From Harry Truman to the present time. And the moral decline has been constant, in my opinion. And really, again, in my opinion, really snowballed when the rights of the unborn were taken away. And once you take those rights away, then everything else can... Jim knew the church needed to be in the forefront of being carriers and couriers of change. And the force behind it all is the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. Be filled, church. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the fire of God. And be that person that God wants you to be. And you know what? I think you want to be as well. Amen? Amen. Let me share some prominent themes, teachings of Pastor Jim. One thing he used to say often is that change is imperative. When we become Christians, there has to be change. And one of his cute little sayings was, I don't mind change as long as I don't have to. You go ahead and change. Leave me alone. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has become. Later on in 2 Peter, it says we are to grow in God's grace and his knowledge. It's a command. Move ahead. Because if we're not moving ahead, we're falling behind. The word, the word, the word. We need it every day. I need it every day. Sunday mornings isn't enough. Isn't enough. We need the word. We need to change. He used to say, if your life hasn't changed since you came to Christ, what happened when you came to Christ? That's a good question. We don't change instantly overnight, but we start that process of growing in God's grace and his knowledge, becoming the person that not only God wants to come, but we want to become as well. Another great theme of Pastor Jim was anger. He used to say, control your anger or it will control you. So easy to give into anger today, isn't it? We have social, well, I call anti-social media. In the midst of COVID stuff, it's bringing out amazing waves of anger. Politics, whew, don't get me started there. My advice, less media, more of God's word and prayer. You'll be much better off. Oh, how Jim loved this verse from Proverbs 15:1. A soft, gentle answer turns away anger, but harsh words stir up anger. You know, one of the things he used to say, and I used to say to the youth group, they want, you know, we get the word, let's, you know, I want us all the secret things of God's word, the mysterious sayings of God's word, the hard to understand things, and let's do that. And I remember Jim Erickson saying, even from this pulpit, listen, you may be able to understand some of the mysteries of God's word when you get a handle on this. How are you doing with the soft answer turns away anger? If you're still struggling with that, then maybe that you ought to get a handle on that first. Say that to me a couple times. He preached this and he lived this. Listen, one of our greatest testimonies, one of the things that impressed me more almost than anything about Jim Erickson was how he preached and practiced his faith. I remember being with him like out someplace and somebody would say, so what religion or what denomination are you? He would say, I'm a practicing Christian. And I remember I asked him the first time, I said, well, why do you say practicing Christian? Because he said, I practice my Christianity. So it's easy to say the word Christian, isn't it? We need to practice our Christianity. I worked with him. I was his son-in-law. I knew him before he was a pastor. I knew him in his job as a manager of the Press Gazette. And my observation when he was at work, when he was in the marketplace, when he was in the office, at home, in church, at the YMCA, out in the world, he was the same person. Listen, how you and I live our life is our greatest testimony. Right? We need to walk the walk before we talk the talk. It's easy to do the talking. But we need to live it out in our life, and that's what will draw people. Being salt and light in this world. Live your life. It's your greatest testimony that you have. How effective is yours? Let the Holy Spirit bring some changes into your life. Let's model soft answers. Let's model those who will be like oil on rough waters. Parents, model Proverbs 15:1. And confess it when you don't. Confess it when you blow it. Because we do blow it all the time. As a youth pastor, I often spoke on the power of James 1:19, which says this, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So when I would preach this to teenagers, I always titled it, Listen Up, Lighten Up, and Shut Up. So It got their attention. My wife lets me know sometimes that I really don't have a hearing problem. My hearing is good. But I might have a listening problem. You know, there's a difference between having a hearing problem and having a listening problem. Let's commit with God's help to be better listeners. To God, yes. To the voice of the Holy Spirit, yes. But also to each other. Also to each other. I've asked a special guest just to give a short message. Do we have that, Steve? This is where we all look back at Steve and wonder what he's doing back there. Is it going to work?
I know I don't have to explain this, but just in case there's any question. When the word man is used here in the scripture, it means men or women or young people. I could just as well have said if a woman's gift is prophesying, if a woman's gift is serving, if a woman's gift is teaching, if a woman's gift is encouraging, let her do it cheerfully. I feel it is necessary now, follow me very carefully. I feel it is necessary to point out to you that the verses that deal with the gifts are surrounded by some very important verses. The first two verses of Romans chapter 12 deal with the offering of your bodies as living sacrifices and the renewing of your mind so that you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Verses 3 through 8 deal with the gifts. And then verse 9 reads like this. Read it, Romans 12, 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Everything that we do must be cloaked with love. Donna, the uniform that we wear must be the uniform of love. For a gift to be effective, there must be love, and a lot of it must be God's love.
Yes.
Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 13, if I possess all the gifts and do all these things but have not love, I gain nothing. Gary, if I have not love, I gain nothing.
That's right.
And what Paul is saying is that nobody else gains either, because love must be the ingredient that makes these gifts work. Psychologists will tell you that there are four basic personalities: sanguine, melancholy, phlegmatic, and choleric. Anyone who has made an in-depth study of personalities would share with you that even though you might be predominantly one personality, one or two or maybe even three of the other personalities will show up in your actions occasionally. In other words, it is not set in stone that you are the same way all the time. You are not always obstinate, stubborn, or hard-headed. There are times when you're almost easy to get along with.
That's our gym, amen? If you remember when he would preach, he would call you out once in a while, right? Call your name. Really made you pay attention because you never knew what he was going to say. Right, Donna, or right, Bill, or or whatever. He also talked about the value of good humor, laughter. Proverbs 17 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. If you remember Jim at all, you remember his infectious smile. Do we got the picture up there? Yeah, that's the smile, right? Listen, he believed in the power of an encouraging word and a warm smile. He passed it on to his daughter, by the way. I've said this before. When we still run into people, I can brag on my wife a little bit, can I? When we'd run into people that she used to work with, she's worked for the Packers for 22 years, and she worked with the general managers and people in the upper executive offices and the coaches. And when we still run into some of them that are still there, they say, Jeannie, we really miss you. We miss that smile. We miss that encouraging word. We miss that spirit that you brought into this place. That's testimony, folks. That's a testimony. Even in the worst stages of Pastor Jim's Parkinson's disease, he could find joy and even laugh at his own limitations and encouraging people right to the end. Which leads me to the next one, because this is one of the things I used to teach. It's not how you start, but how you finish. That's what matters. He loved to quote the lines from the great hymn, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and as thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And aren't you glad of that? God, through his Holy Spirit, draws us to come to him. One of his favorite sayings was this: the church is called to be a hospital for the hurting and not a country club for the saved. Whew. Yes, he liked to meddle once in a while. I used to tell him that. Quit your meddling. Then we'd laugh, of course. Two of his favorite scriptures, Philippians chapter 3, says, Paul saying this, "I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing." Church, focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. And looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Don't hang on to the past. So many of you have been hurt in the past. With God's help, we forgive the past, we put it in the past, and we move on to the better things that lie ahead of us. That's why I say the best is yet to come. Put those old things behind and move on to what God has for you. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. I read this at his funeral, and many other people's funerals for that matter. "As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing." Amen. Finish well. It doesn't make any difference what's happened to this point in time. God forgives the past. Best is yet to come. Believe it. Believe it. Every person's life is... I tell parents who just struggle with their kids that may be out living out in the world someplace, listen, everyone's life is like a book and each segment is a chapter. It's only the end that really counts. Never give up on people that you're praying for. You say, "Well, I've been praying for this person for years," and then keep praying for more years. And believe and trust that they will not breathe their last breath until they ask Jesus Christ to come into their life. That's the power of prayer. Don't give up praying and don't give up believing. And by the way, your life is like that too. Maybe you've gone through some hard times. It's a chapter. It's not the book. There are better chapters to come. Like I said, Jim used to meddle once in a while, so I'm going to take one of his medals and pass it on to you right now. Prayer versus complaining. 1 Timothy 2:2. Used to preach on this. "Pray this way for all kings and for most who are in authority." And for some who are in authority. What? Everyone say all. All who are in authority. Some of you didn't say it. Shame on you. "So that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity." We pray for pastors. We pray for church leaders. We pray for presidents. We pray for vice presidents. We pray for Congress. We pray for our Supreme Court, for our governors, for our mayors, for our law enforcement officers, for our firefighters. Everyone who is in a position of authority, we are called, we are commanded to pray for them. Jim used to say, if you are complaining more than you're praying, then you just might be out of order. He said that. I didn't say that. He said that. He also used to say that circumstances don't make, they reveal. What's there? Galatians 5:22. I remember him preaching on this. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. But those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified him there. That's our testimony. These spiritual fruits that the world sees: your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness, your goodness, your faithfulness. That's the testimony that opens doors. That's the fruit of the Spirit of God working in your life. And how many of you remember Pastor Jim saying this? Church, we are called to be fruit producers, not fruit inspectors. I'm not called to inspect your fruit and make a judgment on it. Yeah, you ought to be showing a little more love and patience. What's the matter with you? No. In time, we produce fruit. We don't inspect fruit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to wrap this up. Some of you think that you may have really blown it. Listen, I've blown it. I haven't done well in my life. I'm not in that spot. Listen, it's never too late to start over. Listen, I'm so glad that God has given me and many of you many chances when we think that we've blown it. Aren't you glad of that this morning? Aren't you glad for 1 John 1:9 that says, if we will confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us from some of our unrighteousness, from most of our unrighteousness, from all unrighteousness. Let's be eternally grateful for that, for God's grace. That's getting what we don't deserve. That's God's grace. And for his mercy, that's not getting what we do deserve. And let's make a commitment. It's like Pastor Jim used to take every opportunity, wherever he was, to say a word for Christ. It was amazing. And you can do that too. Jeannie and I have had a chance even, and sometimes in restaurants, and you ask a simple question about, hey, how you doing, or what do you do when you're not here, or whatever, and sometimes people will just, when they sense that you care, they will say amazing personal things and sometimes cry. And I remember we had a chance with Veronica Valoria, this waitress who waited on us, and I was asking how she was doing. She talked about her back and issues. I said, you believe in prayer? Well, yeah. I said, would you like us to pray for you? She said, that'd be great. I said, right now? She said, right now. Okay. So right there. No big scene. No, you know, hey, everybody, be quiet in the restaurant. I'm going to pray now for this lady. No. We just took her by the hand and we prayed for her. And we're friends with her to this day. We still keep touch. What did it take? Ask a question. There are so many opportunities out there to let your light shine. Just say, Lord, each day, Lord, if there's an opportunity for me to say a word for you, then just keep me alert to that opportunity. And by the help of your Holy Spirit, I'll do it. I'll step in and I'll take advantage of that. And God will do some amazing, some marvelous things. Listen, I still believe the best is yet to come. For the church, this is the best of times. Opportunities galore. If you're in the world, this is the worst of times. And we know that it's all coming to a head, right? Oh, we say like the Revelator John, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. But until you do, like Jim used to say, we will occupy until you come. And we will be that person that not only you desire us to be, God, but you know what? We desire the same thing. Let's bow your heads.